Spillwords.com presents Darwin Rules, written by Clive LaPonce. When a racing car or locomotive moves away from us, the noise it makes drops from treble to bass. It's an easy observation and was explained by a physicist called Doppler and is now known as the Doppler effect. He said, as the locomotive approaches us, it squashes the air in front of it and pushes and compresses the sound waves. This causes a higher frequency in the vibrating air entering our ears, rattling our eardrum, and we hear a higher note than the locomotive should be emitting. The racing car tears past us, and it is dragging air behind it, lengthening the sound vibrations, and we hear a lower note than the car is making. Sound is a wave. Mechanically shortening or lengthening the wave causes the note we hear to alter. Doppler's idea remains a theory because we can't look at air particles and what they are up to, but it explains the observation. Light is also a wave and, in many convincing ways, behaves like sound. Stars emit light. If they are moving away from us, the light becomes stretched, and we observe the wrong wavelength. Scientists have calculated the wavelength of light a star should be emitting. This was a long and painstaking process involving modeling stars in the laboratory. Now done, they can compare the light which arrives on Earth, millions of years later, with a theoretical value. Science often provides the unexpected. One always observes a shift in wavelength that shows the star is moving away from some central point, i.e., the universe is expanding. By extrapolating backwards, one can calculate that all stars were once in the same spot. This was 13.7 billion years ago, and that moment in time is called the Big Bang. Our universe at that point was a few m in size, incredibly dense, and hot. We used to be able to look at the Big Bang when we had tube TVs. The snow between stations is the cosmic radiation still swirling around. As the Big Bang energy expanded and cooled, matter was made by atoms crunching into each other, breaking, forming, etc. Darwin's theory of evolution sits nicely with the Big Bang. Darwin proposes that changes take place over hundreds of generations and eventually sort out the best model for survival. Even 10,000 generations is nothing compared to the time it took us to get here. The annoying thing about Darwin is that his theory rarely lets us down. One can test it over and again with real-world observations, and there it is, explaining the evidence. That doesn't make it right. Scientific theories are not set in concrete. They are just thoughts that explain what we observe. When our observations improve, we must update our stories to explain the new evidence. Creationists argue that science must get it right immediately or be discounted. Science isn't like that. Science is a bucket of stories and theories which men and women are working on. We prefer to call a story a hypothesis. It sounds better. This week, I read a science question on evolution. The question was, what is the evolutionary advantage to humans and other higher ape females having periods? On the face of it, this cannot benefit mankind and certainly not womankind. The creationist talks about the original sin and is all about punishment and the power game. Only a tiny number of mammals have periods, apes, gorillas, humans, and a few species of bats. So, if reproduction without a spongy womb lining works so well for over 6,000 mammal species, why would the higher primates benefit from a womb lining that is dumped every lunar month and a giveaway to predators? The fertilized egg descends into the womb and attaches itself to the spongy layer, which signals changes that result in the emerging placenta boring through the spongy layer, giving the growing embryo direct access to the mother's bloodstream, energy food, oxygen, minerals, etc. The growing child can help itself, and the mother must fight to control it, so that she can stay alive. This growing cell cluster also puts chemicals into the mother's bloodstream, which alter her behavior to the advantage of the embryo. The mother is invaded by hormones that change her body to make it the best breeding cupboard possible. It's a tug of war, which neither side may win. Before medical intervention, out of balance meant the destruction of mother and child. The spongy lining is a challenging environment, where only the strongest embryos will survive. It's called selection, and Darwin isn't finished. The placenta and hormones hinder a mother's ability to decide against pregnancy and resist bonding urges. Darwin and natural selection win again, although women might think it is a lousy deal. However, what emerges 38 weeks later is a super baby. And because it received everything there was to get, it might one day be smart enough to calculate the wavelength a star should be emitting and show that it must be moving away from a point, because of the redshift caused by the Doppler effect. No other species can do this, nor build Reims Cathedral or make trains run, aircraft fly, or write 1,000 words and put some of them to music. Sorry, womankind. Beethoven's Fifth really was worth it. Please leave this field empty, never miss a story. Subscribe to our newsletter and get the latest literary buzz. We don't spam. Read our privacy policy for more info. Check your inbox or spam folder to confirm your subscription. About latest posts, Clive LaPonce. Clive started writing on the history of beer and became a world authority, but then turned his attention to poetry and fiction. His second two novels are on Good Novel, and the first, A Romp Around Berlin, is available in English and German. His poetry has become serious and concentrates on green issues, animal rights, as well as history washing. His latest poetry is available as chapbooks on Amazon. Latest posts by Clive LaPonce. See all, Darwin Rules. July 11, 2025 Spotlight on Writers. Clive LaPonce. June 21, 2025 The Rain Men. March 25, 2025